This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico. More than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Can Microsoft complete the last level of its takeover game? Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. A very good morning to you. Microsoft has made some big changes to its plan for taking over the video game company Activision Blizzard. It's trying to convince the UK competition watchdog to change its mind after initially said no to the $69 billion deal back in April, and it's got past EU and US regulators. So could this revive Microsoft's chance of completing the takeover of the Call of Duty maker? Here's the BBC's Peter Ruddock to explain. Hi, Peter.
Hello, thanks for having a chat to me.
Peter, why did the Competition and Markets Authority block this takeover in the first place? Remind us.
Yeah, so there have been really big objections to this deal from rivals like Sony. So they were concerned that Microsoft could stop major games being available to its own PlayStation business, for example. Now, Microsoft always argued it would be stupid for them to stop selling successful games to millions of potential customers, and they signed agreements with Sony and Nintendo promising that Call of Duty games, for example, would be available on their consoles. However, UK regulators in particular were really worried about the growing cloud gaming market. So to cross the line, Microsoft in Europe, they offered concessions, essentially offering royalty-free licenses to cloud gaming platforms to stream Activision games. But the CMA just said that didn't go far enough. They thought that Microsoft would still be able to set the terms and conditions for this growing cloud gaming market for the next 10 years, and that's why they blocked the original deal.
And so Microsoft, they've come back with new proposals as to how this takeover would work. What's different this time around?
So under this new deal, Microsoft now won't buy the rights for any of Activision's existing or new games stored in the cloud for the next 15 years. So I think that's a really significant promise. The question is whether it goes far enough to deal with what the CMA asked for. For this deal to go through, there'd probably need to be a sort of a partial divestiture, so maybe selling a whole franchise like Call of Duty. That's not what we've got today, but it seems like it's probably as far as Microsoft is prepared to go to get this deal through.
We'll see. We'll have to wait and see. Well, thanks so much, Peter Ruddock. Thanks for joining us in Marketplace.
Thanks so much.
Okay, let's do the numbers. European markets are up after a rebound in big tech stocks on Wall Street. Europe's region-wide Stoxx 600 is up just over 1%. Let's go to Johannesburg now, where the BRICS group of developing countries, that's Brazil, Russia, India, China and South Africa, are meeting for their annual summit. Top of the agenda will be its expansion. 23 countries have formally expressed an interest in joining the group, while officials have said a total of 40 are seeking membership. De-dollarization is high on the agenda too. Jerry Mashaba is the BRICS Financial Services Secretariat in Johannesburg, and he's been talking to the BBC's Alan Kasuja.
So if we look at BRICS now, it represents 42% of the global population, 30% of the world economy, 31.5% of the global GDP, and 18% of the global trade. So the BRICS has got a massive population, and that presents an opportunity on its own. But the second part, which is more important, is the intra-BRICS trade, which is the trade amongst the BRICS countries. So when you look down the forecasts that are coming in 2030, 2050, and 2075, they are looking at China being the biggest economy, India being the second biggest economy. So the BRICS countries are way up there in terms of the global economies and GDPs. The plan is not to outdo America or outsmart America or to get bigger than any of the West. Is to create a realistic multilateral structure that presents an opportunity and an alternative to some of the countries. So at least you've got a choice. So you can have a choice.
Such as an alternative currency to the dollar?
Yes. So you can have, but even if you go back, the euro was created mainly was to challenge the dollar literally. But it became now a currency that becomes an alternative that can trade. I don't think we're saying we want to fight the dollar, want to get rid of the dollar, we don't want that hegemony. We just want to present a realistic alternative to what is already there.
That was Jerry Mashamba. Now, imagine being asked to work from home to help tackle pollution. Well, that's exactly what's happening in the world's most polluted city, Jakarta, in Indonesia. From today, thousands of civil servants will work from home for the next 2 months. The BBC's Astu Destra, Anjan Rasti, is in Jakarta and speaking to my colleague, Gareth Barlow.
From last month, it's beginning to get really bad. So when you step outside, you can feel it immediately. Like when I go to the office, for example, I would thought that maybe it's cloudy, it's about to rain, but it's not. It's actually the pollution that makes the cloud so dark and, you know, you cannot breathe easily.
This is the start of the trial and it's 25,000 or so civil servants who will be working from home. To what degree is there hope, if any, that this might have an impact on air pollution?
Yeah, well, the government believe that working from home is one of the solutions, the short-term solution. And even though we cannot see it directly, because this is still the first day of the trial, the government seems very optimistic about the solution. And it still draws many critics, especially from the environmentalist and also from other Jakartan's citizens. So a lot of the critics say that it will not affect as much as to pollution, but it will definitely affect to the traffic jam that, of course, Jakarta is known for.
And that leads us nicely into the source of the pollution, because climate campaigners say that it's a high number of factories and coal-fired power stations near Jakarta that are pumping out pollution. The government says, like you alluded to, it's the traffic and it's the weather. What is the reality? Where is all of this air pollution coming from?
Right. So the Ministry of Environment and Forestry said that transportation is the main source of air pollution, which is 44% according to their research. And then it's followed by industry, about 31%, manufacturing, 10%, housing, 14%, and commercial, 1%. They also blame the pollution spike because of the dry season. And indeed, Jakarta hasn't seen rain for almost 3 months. And it is believed that is why the pollutants are still floating in the air. But it's true. A lot of the environmentalists agree that the coal emissions from the power plant is actually the biggest culprits of this pollution. The government, well, they don't really dismiss it because President Joko Widodo in the emergency cabinet meeting also mentioned something about the power plants in Jakarta and its surrounding, but it is included in the long-term plan to deal with the pollution.
That was Astu Destra, Anjan Rasti there in Jakarta, and I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.